Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.5.
Dames en here, so gedurende die maand van Mei gesels ons met verskeie mense uit verskeie sfere en agtergronde dinge. En dis mense wat regtig elke keer oor en oor sê ek verkies Suid-Afrika deur en deur. Nou daar's verskeie redes hoekom ons met die gaste gesels. Nou een van hierdie gaste is 'n wonderlike persoon. Ek het die voorreg gehad, ek dink dit was 7 of 8 jaar terug, wat ek die voorreg gehad het om met ons volgende gas vir die eerste keer te kon gesels en ek gaan nou daarby kom oor hoekom ons gesels het, maar dit is een van die beste goed ooit gewees. En van daar af net gegaan van krag tot krag tot krag. En dis 'n ou wat ek moet vir jou sê, hoor gou vir my, as jy nou regtig nie 'n lekker dag het nie, vir jou wat nie weet, ek soos waar bly jy in 'n grot?
Ja, het jy nie internet nie?
As jy nie weet van Brent Lindetjie van The Good Things Guy nie, nou wil ek het vir jou sê, regtig, klim uit jou grot uit en kom uit en beleef dit. Want jy sien die ding is net, if you've had a bad day, if you're struggling today and you're not feeling very well, and you go to his social media or his website, trust me, you'll spend 5 minutes on there, not even, and you'll walk away feeling so much better about life. Joining us via Zoom, Brent Lindetjie. Brent, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on the show. What an incredible introduction. I feel like I have to perform now. I've got a level. Put me up on a podium.
Not expecting anything less of you, my friend, because let me tell you, it's not everybody that can say that they have interviewed Oprah Winfrey, okay?
Well, this is very true, and it was something that I did last year, and I'm sure we're going to get into that conversation during our conversation this morning. I'm sorry I couldn't be... I just need to add, I'm sorry I couldn't be in studio. I was supposed to be in studio with you this morning, but I'm coming to you from Zoom because I've got such a hectic day ahead and I couldn't deal with the traffic. It's just a little bit scary.
Thank you for your honesty, Brent. That is 100% the most forgivable excuse ever.
Listen, Brent, let's get to that. I mean, I want to get to all the stories, the website, how it all started. But before we get to that, I mean, I said to Sharunika, I didn't even know where to start. If somebody had to tell me that you're going to interview Oprah Winfrey, I wouldn't even know where to start for preparation because she is probably the best interviewer in the world. And now you have to sit down and interview her. Where do you start, Brent? Come on, man.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we need to take 100 steps back here because this is me and my Oprah journey, right? When I was younger, I didn't have Mnet or DSTV. So when all my friends were coming home from school and they were watching what? KTV. It was always KTV. All watching the kids' television.
Absolutely.
I was watching Oprah. That was my vibe. It was free TV. It was SABC. Oprah was on every single afternoon. And that's where I spent majority of my time. So it was kind of like Oprah and I were friends when I was growing up. And fast forward to a couple of years, 10 years ago, when I went viral with Nick nominations and when Good Things Guy was really being born, I was featured on all these massive mainstream media news sites. CNN flew out to do a documentary on me for African Voices.
Crazy.
It was just unreal. But the pinnacle of sort of... when I patted myself on the back during that time is when I was featured in the O magazine, which goes back to Oprah. It was her magazine, the Oprah magazine. When I got that email last year to say that I was invited, I was one of four journalists who were invited to sit down with Oprah to have a chat with her. Ruben, I cried.
Oh, wow.
I literally cried. I got that email and I just thought to myself, this is life coming full circle.
Yeah.
It's like literally full circle. Your question, how do you prepare for interviewing the world's greatest storyteller? You can prepare as much as you want. When you're sitting in front of her, I went cold. I forgot exactly what my task was. And I just followed my heart and really what I wanted to know about her journey and sort of the questions that I had about her life. And the conversation really did flow. So working in media, you'll know that we only get a bit of short time when interviewing people. They gave us 15 minutes. And Oprah and we landed up chatting for about 45 minutes, which was just unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah, and that doesn't really happen, eh? Because like you said, I mean, these international rock stars and celebrities, we've had a few of those, and they're very strict on time, eh? And that's exactly it, because they're so busy. So being allocated 45 minutes after 50 minutes slot says a lot about you, man.
Oh, it was such a lack of conversation. And generally, when I write articles, I try stick to anywhere between 300 to 500 words, because that's like a nice read. It's 3 to 4 minutes. You're getting the information. It's fantastic. With Oprah, I think I wrote 4,500 words.
Yeah.
It was just, there was so much being said and so many, I needed to tell the story properly. It was really, really, really special.
Crazy. And let me tell you, I had a good laugh. Jason Momoa has joined the Good Things Guy group, but he hasn't answered the questions.
So, you know, you speak about my social media and how it's used for inspiration and motivation. Yes, that's one part of me, but I'm a complex human being. There's different facets to who I am, and I like to be funny as well. So we know the scammers. They're all over social media. And last week on one of the Facebook groups, because we got a couple for Good Things Guy, on one of the groups, Jason Momoa, he part of the group, and I was like, there's no way that this is really Jason Momoa. That's ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. So I didn't allow him into the group because he didn't answer the membership questions.
You are probably the first person ever to block Jason Momoa from social media. Come on. Oh man, that is just so much fun. Let me tell you, I've had Taylor Swift has followed me as well, and I think Tom Cruise. I think Tom Cruise is also somewhere on my social media somewhere.
Oh wow!
I'm just saying, I'm still waiting for my ship to come in of all the Bitcoin people that comment on everything.
Listen, also before we again I want to get to the start of song, of how it all started, but in your journey as well. Kilimanjaro, I mean, that is also probably one of your, tell me, that must have been one of your biggest achievements ever as well. But before we get to, what has that learned or taught you about life in general? I mean, conquering Kilimanjaro.
Listen, Kilimanjaro is a whole other kettle of fish. I'm not a hiker. I don't climb mountains. It's not something that I do on the weekend. I don't go out to the bush, and it's not me. And I got approached by a lady. She's a paramedic in South Africa, and she works very closely with Meals on Wheels. And she said, "Would you come and climb Kilimanjaro for charity and to raise a bit of money and awareness for Meals on Wheels?" And I said, absolutely. Like, yes, I will do it. So I'd said yes, and then I had to figure out how the heck I was going to climb a mountain. And so I started training at gym. I was doing that Stairmaster. I went and did the stairs in Westcliff once or twice on the weekend to sort of just get ready for it. Nothing can prepare you, though. Absolutely nothing can prepare you. It is such a foreign experience. I mean, you're climbing this mountain for days at a time. There are no ablution facilities, so it's not like you can shower or use the toilet like you normally would. I'd bought these things from, I think, Dischem or Clicks that were sheets of soap. So I'd get like a hot water little Tupperware thing when I got back to my tent at night, and I would use these like sheets to try and clean myself. Sometimes our tents were pitched at an angle, so you were literally sleeping as if you were in a hospital bed lying up, because it just, that's the way the tent was on the side of the mountain. And the terrain changes so quickly. Mm. So the terrain moves from the first day, a sort of Amazonian forest type feeling, and then it quickly gets just to arid sort of desert land, and then it turns to snow. It was freezing cold. We were stuck in a snowstorm on the last day when we were of going up the mountain, that sort of ascending to the peak of Kilimanjaro, and it was one of the toughest things that I've ever done. You asked me what lessons did I learn. Perhaps that we are stronger than what we believe.
Wow.
Because the last sort of 10 hours of getting up onto this mountain was really tough. You can hardly move. You can't think. When I was getting dressed to start to get to the peak, it took me like, I don't know, half an hour to put my socks on, because your brain's just not functioning the same without the oxygen. And it's just really crazy. And I got to, there's three peaks at the top, if I remember it correctly. And for some reason, I believed that the first peak that I could see was the end. And I was like, yes, I've made it. I can see it. When I got to that peak, they were like, no. There's still about an hour to go before we get to that fight. Nice. And I gave up. I sat down. So while you're in that last final stretch, you stop every sort of half an hour-ish, depending on the group, and you have to decide whether you're going to go to the loo, whether you're going to drink something, or whether you're going to eat something, because you only have like a five-minute window. And I stopped at that first peak, and I just said, I'm done. Like, I'm good. I've sort of made it. And the group left me, and I stayed with one of the guides, and he let me eat something. He let me drink something. He let me go to the loo, and he let me gather my thoughts again. And then he was like, do you want to try and finish this? And I was like, actually, yes. I've made it this far. Sure. Let me try. And I cried the whole way from that one peak to the next peak, just because it was such a crazy feeling. And then when I got to the end, we were stuck in a snowstorm. So a lot of people that have these beautiful photos of Kilimanjaro with blue skies and the sun, I don't have that. It's just me, snowstorm. You could hardly even see the sun. It looks like it's photoshopped. People might say you never actually made it to the top, Brent. It's an absolute lie, but I did, and I did it.
Crazy,
and it was
man.
One of the best things I've ever done in my life.
Brent Linneke van Good Things Guy hier by ons. Ons gaan net hierna gaan ons lekker verder met hom gesels.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.
Snow, as jy die bus al geskakel het, man, ons gesels lekker. Brent Linneke van The Good Things Guy by ons. Brent, let me tell you, I can't remember, when did Good Things Guy, when was it, is it 8 years, 7 years that you've been going with us?
Okay, so we're sitting on 9 years this year.
Wow.
And it'll be my ninth birthday. It'll be Good Things Guy's ninth birthday on the 1st of August. But it was 10 years ago where the seed was planted for Good Things Guy. So at the beginning of the year in 2014, almost to the end of the year in 2013, there was something that had taken the world by storm.
Yeah.
And it was this game. I don't know if you remember this. It was called Neck Nominations.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm sure there's many listeners that are sitting, nodding their heads going, yeah, I remember that. Ek onthou, ek moet bietjie Afrikaans in hier gooi. So
hey,
you know that
look at you
Afrikaans
go.
That's like...
So Nick Nominations was happening, and it was this whole idea to drink as much as you possibly could, alcohol, and then to do something really silly in the process and take a video and post that up online. And there were millions of these videos that were being shared from all around the world. And I was watching this thing unfold from here in South Africa, and I thought to myself, man, imagine, I mean, it's fun and it's all cool to be involved in a game like this, but imagine if we could use our social media, I don't know, to make a little bit of a difference, to be kinder, to you know, just be lekker, to be really lekker. So it was a Friday. I got to my office, I switched on my computer, and there was a friend who had done something equally as dumb and nominated me to join the trend and drink. And I decided, I sat at my desk and I was like, what do I do? Like, do I go and chug a beer and sort of join the trend? Or do I try to do something a little bit different? And I grabbed a work colleague and we went off to our local fruit and veg city, and I bought an extra sandwich, chocolate and a cold drink. So I bought one for myself for lunch, and I bought an extra one to give away to someone in need. And it's not very difficult, right? You can drive, I mean, 10 years later, you drive around anywhere in South Africa and there's someone in need at every intersection. And I stopped at the first intersection. There was a gent there that was begging in need. And I handed over that meal. My colleague, Nikki, she caught it all on my cell phone. And I got back to the office and I started uploading the first YouTube video I'd ever put online. I had to register YouTube and do the whole thing. And within a couple of minutes, the video shot to 301 views. I remember that number specifically. I thought I'd made it. I was like, 301? I don't even have 301 Facebook friends. When is Hollywood going to call it? It's going to happen. What I didn't know at the time is 10 years ago, YouTube, they didn't have the sort of tech and the AI that they have now. So when videos started going viral, they froze the number at 301. And it stayed there.
Oh.
So it sort of stayed there until they could sign off that it wasn't anything untoward that was being uploaded onto the internet.
Wow.
And that night, I forgot about it. I was like, cool, 301, it's frozen there, it's lekker, I've done it. That night, I went to a friend's birthday dinner, and she just said to me, Brenty, I'm so proud of you. I can't believe the video's had 10,000 views, which sounds like nothing now, right? You can put a TikTok up and get millions of views now. But this was 10 years ago.
Exactly.
And people, she said, I'm even more proud of you because people around the world have started to change their neck nomination into a rack nomination.
Yes.
A random acts of kindness nomination. And that's sort of when the Random Acts of Kindness movement in South Africa was born. I then woke up the next day and the video had hundreds and thousands of views. And there were all these missed calls on my phone from international numbers. Hollywood had literally called.
Yep.
It was CNN and BBC and Sky News and all these people that wanted to tell the story of how, I would say, an incredibly average South African managed to change a global game on its head. It managed to take this idea of drinking and changed it to rather be random acts of kindness that people were doing around the world. And that was really the seed for Good Things, guys. So all of a sudden, I was thrust into the space where I was just seeing all of this good happening around me. There were all these charities and individuals and even businesses with incredible CSR projects that were phoning me to tell me about the good work that they were doing. And I like to say 10 years ago, for the first time in my life, I didn't feel like South Africa was falling over. You know how we all think, it's all going downhill. No, there are so many good people around us doing good things. And I wanted other South Africans to feel the same as me.
Yeah.
So it took a year. I was on Cliff Central and I was on here and there. And I had a couple of features that I was doing featuring this good news. And it took about a year. But on the 1st of August, 2015, I physically launched Good Things Guy as a platform, as a new site. It was first a blog and it somehow became South Africa's top good news site.
And the rest is history, as they say, because you've reached so much success and inspired so many people up until then. Ek onthou nog, Brent, that's the time that we spoke to you, that I spoke to you the last time, was when we got involved with our rack nomination. I remember going to a gas station, also handing out stuff and then paying it forward for everybody else to it. It took the world by storm, even here by us here at Groot FM. We got involved with that. Ek weet, Lindy Strydom was nog hier geweest daai tyd.
I was a student at university and busy with the campus radio station there, and we got involved as well, and it felt like something so insignificant that in a moment turned the world on its head.
Absolutely. And I think that was the beauty of that trend, is that it taught me, and I'm sure it showed many people, that through many small acts of kindness you can create a very big change.
Yeah.
And it was individuals, businesses, radio stations, not just in South Africa, but around the globe, that had all decided to turn up the heat on being kind. And it was such a beautiful thing to watch unfold.
Absolutely. But I want to get to this. Dit gaan nie net maklik wees hier, Brent. We have to ask the difficult questions. Okay, regarding positivity as well.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.
Dit is 8:32. Nou, Brent Lindeke nou by ons van Good Things Sky, and just listening to you, Brent, I just feel like I want to run through a wall with my head first. Eh? Like I can take on the world.
But in a good way.
Yeah.
this is what I'm all about, right? So I don't know if I was built this way. I don't know if what happened to me or who I was surrounded by. Obviously incredible people when I was growing up, but I've got such a great way of seeing the world. And it's not just about having rose-tinted glasses on. It's not just about the silver linings, but it's about, you know, taking every moment for exactly what it is, something that we can be grateful for and thankful for.
Yeah.
And then turning that into the best possible moment that we can. And I've now, you speak about my personal social media. I use that as a platform to help motivate and inspire, not just people that follow me or friends or family that I'm connected with, but also inspire myself. Yeah. I write these messages every morning to just, you know, give me that chutzpah to get up and go.
Yeah.
And it seems to resonate with other people around the world as well.
But here's the thing, you just touched on it now, Brent, and I want to get to that. What I really enjoyed about you, I mentioned earlier, there's the two extremes for me. There's the really negative sort of individuals that is just they've got a problem for every solution, and then you've got the really, like, and I want to call it what it is, toxic positivity, right? You get that as well, and that to me is also like seriously damaging. But for someone like you, and this is it, I mean, it was, if correct me if I'm wrong, but 80 days into lockdown, you also had one of those experiences where you said, okay, good, I'm the good things guy, I spread good news, etc., but I'm not feeling it today. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, I mean, that was very interesting for me because it was already a couple of years into my journey as Good Things Guy. And yes, Good Things Guy is a separate platform to me because that's where the good news lives. But it also is me. So for so many years, I had this belief that positivity and inspiration and motivation, it fell on my shoulders to make other people feel happy and positive and. And for a number of years, that's exactly what I did. So even if I was having a bad day, if I woke up in the morning and I really wasn't feeling like today is going to be a lacquer day, I was telling people that it is. I was telling people, yeah, today is going to be lacquer. Like I was doing that on my social media. And it was during the lockdown, we were all collectively going through something so bizarre, being locked in our houses. At first, it was lacquer. We were by the pool. We were day drinking. It was like whatever. For a lot of us, we sort of felt like it was almost a break from this yeah. rat race that we were into. But that dissipated very quickly. And then it became this, oh, what is going on here? Like we're locked in. We can't leave our houses. We can't take the dogs for a walk. So we were all dealing with these issues and these challenges that really impacted our mental health. And on day 80, I had a panic attack. I had a real anxiety attack where, well, whatever was going on, there was a whole bunch of reasons. I got involved in a bit of a social media toxic, whatever. And I couldn't deal with my thoughts in a concise way. So I couldn't really find a way out of this panic attack. And it took me 2 days to sort of deal with it and rest and fill my cup with all sorts of things that we do, playing PlayStation, nice. A little bit of exercise, seeing the sun, all those things that we do for our mental health. And it was on day 80 that I remember making a decision. It was a decision that is maybe the most powerful to my authenticity and for me being me. But I realized how irresponsible I'd been with my online platforms. And how I had painted this picture that I was happy all the time. Huh. And the reality is nobody can be happy all the time. No one. There's no one in the world. And perhaps, yes, there is some sort of chemical imbalance that I have that I maybe lean towards being a little bit happier than others. We all have sort of our different challenges. But what I realized that day is that I needed to be honest with my friends, family, and people that follow me. And I needed to have hard conversations on the hard days. Wow. When I wake up in the morning and I'm not feeling lacquer, you're going to know about it. And on days where I actually don't have any motivation in me, there won't be a post. I'm not going to lie to you to try and make you think that that's something that you can aim towards because it was totally irresponsible. So now when I'm having a tough day, I'm very open about it. I'll put it out there. Or the day after, I'll be like, yesterday was really tough, guys. And you know, it's okay not to be okay. And we can all have off days and we can all take time off. And I think that's a powerful message for every single human being. What I've learned over the last couple of years is that we're all hanging on by a thin, thin thread, every single one of us. And we all have monsters that we face on a daily basis that we don't speak about because that first rule of Fight Club is not to talk about Fight Club. But the reality is when we do talk about it, when we're open with our sadness and we hold it with kindness, we give other people the opportunity to do the same. And at the end of the day, we're all human. We're all just trying to get through the day together. And maybe if we can understand that, we can be more empathetic to each other and help each other through this journey of life.
And I think just when this platform started, I think you got a responsibility on your shoulders that you weren't expecting, and people maybe put you on a pedestal because, to paraphrase Spider-Man, with great positivity comes great responsibility. But for you to turn that around into something authentic, I think has made a way bigger difference than you would ever realize, Brent.
I imagine so. And, I get a lot of messages. So I live in this great space where my emails and my social media messages and my WhatsApps and are all incredibly positive. So it's people who want to share good news with me. It'll be, I don't know, a family member, a neighbor, a community member, maybe themselves that have done something great that they want to share those stories. But in the same breath, I get a ton of messages, and so do my team at Good Things Guy, of people who are in need, be that for I don't know, food insecurity, for something to get them. The needs in our country are great. We know how complex that situation is. So we get a lot of those messages. And we get a lot of messages from people who are suffering from sadness, from depression, from mental health. And it's a reality that I said it earlier on. When we give that space a bit of airtime and we're open about it, it allows other people to also have those hard conversations.
Yeah.
And it's the hard conversations that we have that help us get through it. That first point of just reaching out is the most important thing. I'm 39 years old. I can own that now. For the longest time, I pretended to be 29, but I'm 39 years old. And in my journey in this life for 39 years, I've lost friends to suicide and sadness.
Sure.
And if we don't give people the open space to reach out, you know, then they won't be able to get help. And the first step to getting help is reaching out.
Okay, Brent. So snap on that. Just quickly before we go to the traffic. We've had this discussion before. I'm struggling with one thing, Brent. You weet, as ek nou, because I'm also 39 now, going on 40 in September. And my vraag is net, can
it's
I
a
still...
Thing. It's a think, Brent. It's a thing.
Okay, Brent, can I still wear skinny... Can I still wear skinny jeans, yes or no?
You can do whatever you want. This is my belief, right? If you are doing something that makes you happy and it isn't hurting anyone else, then you should be allowed to do whatever you want.
Thank you,
and if someone tells you that you can't wear skinny jeans, that's taking away something that makes you happy, which is so sad.
Thank you. I'm just about to, if I drive here today, I'm going to go to the shop. I think there's a special iewers, Brent. I'm going to look for skinny jeans. Ons gaan net hierna. Gaan ons verder chat met Brent. Bly net by ons.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.
Goed. Nou is tyd dat hulle lekker vinnig uit teen Brent Lindekie by ons. And you one of those guys, man. You don't. How do we do just one interview with you, Brent? There's so much things that we can talk about when it comes to you. Maar nou, here's the thing, Brent. I'm very sure that you would probably say you're a very ordinary guy doing ordinary things. I don't agree. I think you're an extraordinary guy. But here's the question, and it's maybe a little bit of a tough one. As iemand nou die rol van jou moet speel, if somebody had to play the role of Brent Lindeke in a movie about your life, who would you want to have play that role?
You know, I've been doing this now for a decade, and no one's ever asked me that. That's never been a question that's ever come up in an interview. Ooh.
Yes, we can hear you.
My phone was ringing. that question has never come up in an interview, and I've never thought about it. So you've literally got me on the spot here. Who would play the role of me?
Think about it this way. There's only one person that can play any role, Brent.
Jason Momoa.
For a while, listen, during lockdown, for a while, I looked a bit like Jason Momoa. I had that long hair. It was all curly. It was kind of crazy. Maybe Jason Momoa is a good one. Or the guy that played Jon Snow. Jon Snow. I loved him.
Oh, yes.
In Game of Thrones. I
Kit Harington.
Yes, he's great. He's great. So I don't know, but it is... I live an incredibly blessed life. It's a crazy life. I like to think that I work maybe 7 or 8 jobs, different jobs every day. So like you might have one job where you go into the office and you know what you have to do. I am all over the place. It's writing articles. It's TV work. It's radio work. It's getting up on stage. It's traveling. Mm. There's a lot going on at one point of time. And I'm grateful for every single experience and opportunity that I get to do on a daily basis.
Amazing. Right. So the time is running out. Here's the question, Brent. Are you at all positive about South Africa and where it's going? Do I want your honest answer firstly? And secondly, why would you still choose South Africa and choose it over and over again? If so.
100% absolutely. I don't even have to think about that for a split second. I'm so positive about this country because of the people in South Africa. I've said it earlier on in this interview. I get to see the best side of South Africa. I get inundated with good news stories on a daily basis. And yes, it's tough. Yes, we have incredible challenges in this country that can be very, very, very scary. On a daily basis, we see the news headlines. We hear the stories. But in the same breath, there are also good news stories and good people doing good things every single day. And that has never, ever, ever lessened. In fact, it has become more. And I get to be on the forefront of that. And that's what makes me positive about South Africa. I choose South Africa. I keep choosing South Africa. And I will choose South Africa forever and always. There are really good humans doing good things on a daily basis. And that brings me so much hope for our beautiful country.
I want to wrap up this with something that you said on your social media a while back. And you've said there, I've compiled a list of things I don't like that I wanted to share with you. It goes like this. You doubting yourself. I don't like that. You not liking the person in the mirror. I don't like that. You not realizing how amazing you are. I don't like that. You speaking badly about yourself. I do not like that. You not realizing your worth. I don't like that. You listening to other people's opinions. I don't like that. You comparing yourself to others. I don't like that. You not taking time out to look after you. I don't like that. You not learning into new opportunities and adventures. I don't like that. You not being kind to yourself and to others. I don't like that. And you said there, that's my list. It's all about you and me and the toxic things that we do to ourselves. Let's do less of that today and focus more on the good things. Agreed? Be kinder, love louder, don't panic, be lacquer.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't believe I wrote that. I'm listening to someone else say that. It's, you know, you've just inspired me with my own words, because it's so true. We do toxic things for ourselves that don't assist us in making the best day ahead. I need to add to that. That voice in your head, that person being mean to you, speaking to you like you would never let anybody else speak to you. I don't like that. You need to be kinder to yourself. You need to be nicer to yourself. And what a great list. What a great way to end the show.
Unbelievable. Brent Lindicke, Good Things Guy. Man, thank you so much for your time. And please, next time, if you're around in Pretoria, ring me up, man. Please, and come and join us in the studio. It would be great to have you over.
I would love that.
Yes.
I would love that. Maybe it's school vacancies.
Yeah.
Then I can come.
All right.
We have great coffee. It makes traffic worthwhile, I promise.
Awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. Have a good one. Cheers. Bye.
Thanks, friends.
Wow. Ek moet vir jou sê, een van die mense wat my die meeste inspireer. Ek meen, weer eens, as jy net op sy social media gaan, as jy regtig 'n afdag het, so wat hy nou gesê het, and we all have that. Gaan spandeer 5 minute. Dis een van die goed. Ek gaan loer 'n bietjie na die goeie stories. Ja, ek meen, spandeer tyd in die woord. Bid. Doen al daai goed. Gaan kyk op die websites. Daar's regtig meer as genoeg vir jou.
Ja.
Beskikbaar om dit net vir jouself. Maar wees altyd net real. Dis altyd vir my die grootste ding.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.